The history and the science of the Great Lakes maritime world is deftly showcased at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Set appropriately on the shores of Lake Michigan, the Hands-On Museum is Wisconsin's first Smithsonian affiliate.
The intergenerational learning that occurs, sometimes you'll see grandma and grandpa coming in with the grandkids, and the grandkids will run over to that table where they have all the things that they can, you know, assemble or play with, they say the hands-on, and grandma and grandpa will get right in there as well.
Among the many interactive attractions that appeal to young and old alike is America's most extensively restored World War II submarine USS Cobia that's anchored out front. Next up, come along and join us on board the charter motor sailboat Parley in Sturgeon Bay with Captain Tom for a cruise through Green Bay and Lake Michigan.
So my name is Rolf Johnson, and I'm the CEO of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum.
And how did that come about?
Tom, I've been in the museum business for 39 years now, but I've had my eye on this museum for about 20 years, in part because we have property to the south of the little old city of Manitowoc. But I've always loved the lake, loved museums and what they stand for. This is now my current shop, and I've been here about 3.5 years.
There's a real thematic thread that's pretty powerful and strong with this museum specifically.
Yeah, there is. I think our claim to fame is the fact that we have a submarine, that 28 submarines were built here for the war effort in World War II. And that really is, you know, if you look at our genesis story here, the museum, it all happened when a number of community leaders wanted to bring a submarine back to Manitowoc. And so that's one of our claims to fame. But Tom, as you and I were chatting before we went on air here a little bit, the whole museum world is in a real period of transition. We're transitioning not only because the expectations and the interests of our audiences are changing, but also our recognition for how we interact with our communities that we serve, not only as tourist attractions, but as educational and cultural institutions, and even more so in our regard, as academic and scholarly institutions as well.
Let's start out with community and how you kind of open the doors and make a community center out of here and a place to meet and to learn.
Yeah, I love what you just said, because museums are recognizing that we are and can be very effective venues to bring the public together. Now, of course, we hope that the kids come in the school buses and they trundle out for their obligatory fourth grade field trip. And of course, we know that people who are tourists are often looking for something to do. But the communities within which we are embedded, very often we kind of ignore them. And so there is this trend to recognize that museums are venues that the public can come to and discuss issues of the day or topics. And it doesn't have to be history. It might be science. It might be the environment. And here in the maritime museum world, Tom, we're now beginning to do all of that. In fact, it's important to note, we are not the Wisconsin Maritime History Museum. We're the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. So we deal with science, technology, engineering, environment, and, of course, maritime history and heritage, too.
As things evolve, it used to be STEM, and now all of a sudden it's STEAM.
And it's STEAM, and we're even talking about STEAM and adding the H in there. You're absolutely right. And part of this is enlightened self-interest. You know, we realize that the funders, they really want to see some kind of a result from either the casual visitor coming here or the curriculum-based end user, the student or teacher coming here. To integrate or to create the opportunity for people to discover, ideally discover on their own, the connection between art, history, and science, that can make for a very powerful museum experience.
It's about time, isn't it?
It is. And finally, to put the visitor at the center. And, you know, I'm an old curator, as I mentioned, you know, 39 years in the trenches. In the good old days, the curators decided what was important, what should be on exhibit, you know, how dense or how wordy the label ought to be, because gosh darn it all, people are going to read the label. Well, you and I were joking. They won't read those long labels anymore. So we have to put the visitor at the center of the experience.
You do still have text, but it has to be condensed and distilled down to a sentence or two, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what else is important, Tom? It shouldn't just be didactic. So you'll read a lot of these new labels in good museums, and they'll have a big header, a headline, and maybe even a subhead. And if that's all people read, hopefully they'll get at least part of the take-home message or the big idea. And you're right, we have to use humor, we have to use quotes, And we have to, where at all possible, not be didactic. So one technique very popular in museums is to have big labels or even interactive computers that begin with a question and trying to get people intellectually into that mode of, I'm going to be going exploring.
And another dynamic that has shifted, like in front of us, there are little sailboats on a table. And more you see that literal hands-on, interactive, experiential museum exhibit.
Yeah, you know, and we got that from the science centers and the children's museums. And it's been interesting because, you know, not all museums are equal, right? You have the art museum, very, very rarefied. You got the hands-on science center at the other end of the spectrum. But we realized we need to co-opt these techniques from the various institutions to bring them all to roost. And here in the Maritime Museum, we're really very lucky because we can do an effective job of the hands-on interactive displays, as well as the real artifacts that you can see here in our museum. And by the way, I love, you know, you have Journeys of Discovery, your weekly podcast. Well, we hope that every visit to the museum
is a journey of discovery.
You got it.
I love it. How about adults in their buying into and being seduced by the tactile interactive displays? Do you see that as much as the kids, the adults reacting to it? And
you know, the short answer is yes. There's still a subset of the audience. They just come in, they want to read labels. But it's amazing to see the adults. And you know what's really fun? The intergenerational learning that occurs. Sometimes you'll see grandma and grandpa coming in with the grandkids, and the grandkids will run over to that table where they have all the things that they can, you know, assemble or play with, they say, the hands-on. And grandma and grandpa will get right in there as well. So I think it does actually foster that intergenerational learning.
If somebody came here, what would be the things that not to be missed? What would be the things that you would want to be sure that we saw?
Yeah, well, again, many people come here for the submarine. And this is the best maintained and preserved World War II era submarine. So, we need people to see the submarine. We also have an amazing collection of Wisconsin-built boats, primarily pleasure craft, but also some commercial vessels. So to go down and see the vessels we actually have in collections and on display, some of the big old engines. There's a beautiful triple expansion steam engine, and you can actually drive this thing. It was from an ice-breaking car ferry that worked on the Great Lakes. And this thing is big as a garage, and you can actually drive this thing. We have the kids' waterways room to talk a little bit about the environment and the Great Lakes. And then we're currently in an exhibit gallery called Wisconsin's Underwater Treasures. And that's focused on the shipwrecks that are beneath the waves here in Lake Michigan. And we're hoping will be the basis of a new national marine sanctuary as well. So a lot of things for people all ages to come in and experience.
That's very cool. And there are quite a few shipwrecks right off the coast here.
Yeah, the Great Lakes are very, very treacherous. And so often shipwrecks would go down in a storm, human error, fire, things of that sort. And that's what's covered in this exhibit. Everybody thinks of the Titanic or the Edmund Fitzgerald, of course, is famous because of the Gordon Lightfoot song. It was dangerous out there.
And still is.
And still is. So we want to tell that story about that maritime heritage. But it didn't stop with black and white photography. You know, it's still a lot of the commercial activity is by way of the water. People are connected still to fisheries, commercial, sport fisheries. So all of that is an important part of the story that we're trying to tell here as well.
Okay. So you're right in the heart of town, and how would somebody find you? And you're open 7 days a week?
Yeah, 7 days a week. We do during the winter hours here in Wisconsin. Gets a little bit cold and snowy. We're only open 5 days a week. But we're in downtown Manitowoc. Our website is very easy, WisconsinMaritime.org. Wisconsin Maritime, one long word. And by the way, we're coming up. We're going to have our third annual Submarine Festival in July, which is really fun. We're the terminus for the SS Badger, a car ferry. It's on the National Historic Registry. Still goes between Ludington, Michigan, and Manitowoc as well. A lot of ways to get here, and we're just north of Sheboygan and Milwaukee on Lake Michigan.
I heard there's a historic car ferry that's still coal-fired, the only one in America. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the Badger. That's the Badger. Still coal-fired, and they got a waiver from EPA because she is historic. But they put scrubbers on there, so they're doing their best to be environmental. But at the same time, that's one of the old, the only ones still remaining. That goes like three times a day during their peak season, back and forth across Lake Michigan. It's a lot of fun. Harkens back to that golden age, that era of the luxury travel by water.
That's so cool. And you're not too far away from Green Bay Packerland.
No, we're not. Yeah, about 45 minutes from the Packers. I actually, before I came here, I ran the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay for about 3 years. I was the executive director up there and got to know a lot of the Packers. So people often come here for Packer games on Sundays, and then on the following Monday, we'll see a big crowd here in the museum because it is so close. But again, it's 60,000 square feet. It's enormous. We have art. We have history. We have science. And, of course, we have USS Cobia, the World War II submarine.
Love it. All right. Thank you so much.
Tom, wonderful, and I'm glad that you're always on a journey of discovery and taking your listeners off with you, and we hope that maybe some of them will come here and experience this excellent, nationally known museum here in little old Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
One more item. We forgot the National Smithsonian Connection.
Ah, yes, we are very, very proud. We're an old kid and real museum. We do academic and scholarly work with the collections. We do the educational programs. We are one of only 200 museums in the country to be an affiliate of the Smithsonian Institution. We're very, very proud of that, as well as being accredited by the American Alliance of Museums. So, folks, when you come here, you'll have a real museum experience. You're going to learn something, but you will have fun. Guarantee it.
Thanks again. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
This is Tom Kurtz, and we're on the Bay of Green Bay right now in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
And we're motor sailing on a boat.
Yes, we are, on my boat Parlay.
Tell us about Parlay and what you do with it. It's charterable and...
I'm a charter boat. I do boat rides. I don't do fishing. Door County is a great place to do that. Everybody seems to enjoy it. A little cold today, though.
But it's just coming into summertime.
Right.
So there might be some days in July and August where it'll be like being on the Mediterranean.
You bet. And if people want to stop and swim or something like that, that's fine with me.
This is about the beginning of the season for you?
Yes, this is the first ride of the season, as a matter of fact.
And then how late in the fall do you take sails out?
Usually until the fall colors, because we have such beautiful fall colors here in Door County.
A lot of people want to go out in your boat just to look at the...
Absolutely.
And is it by regular schedule during the season, or is it all by reservation and custom?
Pretty much reservation. I fit in 3 cruises a day in the July and August.
You book up pretty solid every day in the middle of the summer?
As time goes on, better and better.
So as the word gets out and you get repeat and referral.
Right, exactly.
And how long you been doing the charter business?
This is year number 4.
You obviously like it.
How can you not like it? I love the water.
So it's a good excuse anyway. You get paid to get out.
Right. Get paid to do what you like.
It's not bad. So tell us a little bit more about what you'd see and do on a cruise.
The typical tour, we go out into Green Bay and do some sailing and just look at the scene where there's some state parks and there's beautiful homes along the shore. And like I say, if you want to drop anchor and have a picnic, it's your dime, so whatever you want to do.
And they sometimes go, obviously, cool off and jump in the water.
Absolutely. And if you want to have some adult beverages, that's fine with me, too.
And how long are the typical sails?
2 to 3 hours.
What's the difference between a 2 and a 3?
How much fun we're having.
Open-ended. And what's your capacity? How many people can come in?
6.
And it's usually one group of people, or sometimes
as a rule, sometimes it's 3 couples. They have rules. I have a master's license, so I could carry more than 6, but you got to draw the line someplace, and 6 is a comfortable number.
Okay, for further information, do you have a website, or how would somebody find out about it?
Yeah, sailsturgeonbay.com.
You're right there in the docks in Sturgeon Bay.
You bet, right here.
All right, Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.